This is Dave Gloetz. On the phone with me is the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, Senator.
Today we're talking about your article titled Racial Migration in the Strangest Locations, which appeared in the Reader on April 7th, 2011. It's a two-part article. In the first part, you talked about your discussion with Rob Perrell, who is a consultant who specializes in, among other things, looking at demographic changes in Chicago, and the article talks about how demographics have changed in Chicago wards, transitions from black to white and Hispanic, etc. One of the things that you talk about is there seems to be this phenomenon of parts of the city where black populations are becoming increasingly white. And there's a context here that our listeners might not appreciate. They may not realize that you co-wrote a book called Race and Politics in Chicago. You co-wrote that with Edward Camacho in 1987. I'm wondering how what you wrote in this week's article, how is that informed by what you wrote back then?
Oh, my Lord, it's been a steady evolution. I'm so happy you raised the subject. I'm very proud of that work that Eduardo and I did. When I first came to Chicago, you know, I'm not from Chicago originally, so I had to study Chicago in a way that I think a native born would not do. And so I read a lot about the history of Chicago politics, the history of its neighborhoods, its wards, the racial trends, the demographic trends. And I sort of put it all together in that book in terms of just the connection between race and politics.
So it's sort of like a dissertation.
Yes, I think that's a good way of framing it, a dissertation. It was really a snapshot also of how I viewed the world back in 1987, right on the eve of Harold Washington's second run for office. So he'd just gone through council wars, or any of our listeners are old enough to know that. That's where the first and only elected black mayor of Chicago was openly challenged on every pretty much front by a band of aldermen, white aldermen, led by Eddie Vrdoliak and Ed Burke. Anyway, it was a very contentious time racially in the city, and that's what the environment I was writing in. And what I've watched over the last 20-odd years, 23 years, is changes that I could never have imagined in 1987. Although, as I recall, I was sort of hinting at them toward the end of the book as I talked about the influx of Hispanic voters in the city and the impact they would have.
Is that one of the things that you didn't imagine would happen?
Well, no, it was already happening. It's been a while since I read the book, but I remember thinking that dynamics would be different with Hispanics than they were with blacks and whites, and that already it was obvious that white people were more tolerant of Hispanics, or at least they didn't react as hostily to Hispanic residents when they moved into the wards, and so that there would be a political benefit of that. What I didn't expect back in 1987 was the transformation of some neighborhoods from black to white as they gentrified. That was a phenomenon that hadn't happened yet, and Chicago is still very much lodged in the point of view that I expressed in last week's story, where once a neighborhood goes black, it never goes back. In fact, that was sort of the undercurrent to the campaign against Harold Washington that was led by various white political leaders, which was, we have to save this city before it's too late. What, of course, we found was that that was just panic. There was all a lot of different trends going on. So I tend to be pessimistic in the things I write because I'm continually disillusioned with the political process in Chicago and my fellow citizens. But I think in this front, we have got better.
Not so pessimistic that you don't agree to moderate political debates, and that's the second part of your article in which you talk about how you moderated a debate between 50th Ward aldermanic candidates, incumbent Bernie Stone, and the eventual winner, Deborah Silverstein. And we were talking a little bit last week about how you decide whether to do one of these things. And you said if it was a case of a fundraiser, you wouldn't do it, but otherwise you enjoyed doing it. What about moderating a debate like this appeals to you?
Well, it's fun. It's theatrical. Gets me out of the house. I always need an excuse for that. I did two of the debates in the 50th Ward. In the first one, there were five candidates. It was before the runoff. And then the second one, when there was a runoff, was just two candidates, Bernie and Deborah Silverstein. So when it's one-on-one, it's more fun. It's because I have a role, the opportunity to participate more and shape the debate. Whereas when it's five people, you know, you kind of ask one question and each candidate responds, and then you got to move on to your next question. It's really not much opportunity for give and take. So it's sort of fun to challenge them with questions. And then, you know, you're in a live audience, so you get a reaction from the audience.
How does it differ if you're sort of shaping the debate and asking questions? How does it differ from asking questions as a reporter?
The big difference is that as a reporter, there's a give and take between me and the subject that I'm interviewing, which I don't have in a debate because the public's not there to hear me. They're there to hear the candidate. So, for instance, if I ask a question about a TIF.
That would be tax increment financing for our less experienced listeners.
But if I ask about TIFs when I'm in an interview and the response is one that I disagree with or I think it just shows a fundamental ignorance of how the program works, I'll immediately go off on a tangent where there's a give and take on that response. Well, I'll respond to specifically what was said and I'll challenge the person. I don't do that in an automatic debate. So if I ask a question about a TIF and one of the candidates says something that I just vehemently disagree with or I think is just flat out wrong, it's not my role to step in. I just have to move on. It's their debate.
Did that sort of thing come up?
Well, yes, it did. Oh, my God. How can I forget? Bernie, I think I may have told you this. Bernie had, there was this one moment where we were talking about the upcoming ward map. And God bless Bernie Stone. He's been doing this kind of a response to me for years because I've been interviewing Bernie Stone almost since the day I came to Chicago in the early 80s. My question was, with the upcoming ward map changes, what part of the ward would you be most happy to get rid of and which part do you want to cling to? The underbelly of that, of course, is that this is a very political process where, you know, aldermen try to get rid of precincts that vote against them and take in precincts that don't know enough about them so they'll probably neutral, et cetera, et cetera. You try to create a map that will enhance your incumbency. And Bernie's response was, that's not how the process works, Ben. It's straight up numbers. Then I'm like, are you kidding me? You know?
He said that with a straight face.
Yeah, you know, Bernie always, that's the beauty of Bernie. Down through the years, we've had these arguments where he'll say, you know, something that's, he has to know is preposterous, but he'll say it with a straight face. And I'll, if it's an interview, I'll come back with him. And, you know, I'll challenge him, and he'll generally just ignore me, and we move on.
And did you hold back on that this time?
You know, in the debate, you know, what could I do? I don't think there was a person in the audience who believed him. You know, I mean, everybody knows it. What, politics in Chicago? We're shocked. anyway, that's an example of how the format of a debate is different than the format of an interview. I enjoy the debates. I did. I think I moderated four of them over this last aldermanic season, and I attended at least three others. So they're fun. Aldermanic debates, in my opinion, are fun.
Yeah, I always learn something when I go to see a candidate talk live as opposed to hearing a radio interview or reading it in the paper or online. Unless they're a very polished liar, I think you can learn quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm glad that we have them. It seems as though they played a greater role in this round because, you know, Mayor Daley wasn't running, so his influence wasn't as prevalent. So candidates had to run sort of on their own record. And then for incumbents, it was a scary season because most of them had voted for the parking meter deal, and, you know, they were under siege for that. So the aldermanic debates, I thought, played a pivotal role in the campaign.
On that note, I'll thank you, Ben Jarowski of the Chicago Reader, for joining me today.
Thanks, Dave.
This is Dave Glowatz. You've been listening to my interview with Ben Jarowski. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for more interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.